You're dialed in to another episode of the Muley Freak Podcast.
So I've always had this dream, doing like everybody else. Oh yeah, I went and scouted after work, and I'm like, duh! And you know, start to do that. So as soon as I hit the ground, it was basically a mad dash for anybody that knew stuff about hunting to fill up my Onyx with waypoints.
Yeah.
So I did that for about a month. Then I started just backpacking. My wife and I went backpacking and just scouting and figuring everything out.
Unscripted, real conversations about everything to do with Western big game hunting.
We had studied the topography before I left the day before, and we had decided at camp that if I had to come back in, which I was going to come back in the next day probably anyways to continue filming, but when I came back in, I was going to look for a different trail.
Because it would have cost us, what, 6 to 8
miles around.
But it was up and over in a creek, and we just didn't know if it was passable.
I was looking at the map, and I was like, man, there's got to be something in there, I think, that we can get through.
Tips and tactics, opinions, where we've been, where we're going. Here's this week's episode.
I'm glad you could sit down and talk with us, Adam.
Yeah, you're a busy guy. We appreciate you.
Oh, well, we're all busy at this show. It's a show.
Well, that's one of the coolest things too is you've never hesitated at giving us a yes to sit down and chit chat. So, yep. I want to talk about something. I was talking to Dustin Whitwer yesterday. He brought this up. In the short amount of time that you've lived in Wyoming, is it fair to say you have killed more critters than some residents already?
We hit the ground running, let's just say.
Dude.
Yeah, my whole life I've wanted to live. I mean, I lived in California.
Right.
And so I always had to hop in the truck or on a plane to go do a majority of hunting. We had some local stuff. We had hogs and local blacktail. But to do a good hunt, we had to travel for hours.
Right.
So I've always had this dream, doing like everybody else. Oh, yeah, I went and scouted after work. And I'm like, duh.
Right.
And, you know, start to do that. So as soon as I hit the ground, it was basically a mad dash for anybody that knew stuff about hunting to fill up my Onyx with waypoints.
Yeah.
So I did that for about a month. Then I started just backpacking. My wife and I went backpacking and just scouting and figuring everything out. And then we just had a good fall, just right in our backyard. It would have been all over the counter stuff. I was non-resident because it takes 12 months to get your residency.
Right.
So I did
so
have
did
some
it
points.
As a non-resident.
I did it as a non-resident, but they were general tags.
Sure.
I just had some points.
Right.
That I burned because when you move there, those they go away.
Sure.
Because then it's just a limited quota draw.
One thing I thought was pretty cool is you were doing it with your wife. The majority of hunting. Sounds like Kevin, who we're trying to get plugged in here right now. But
she came along too. Yeah. Yeah, we did. So probably the best, I know you guys love talking hunting stories, right?
Right.
A little bit.
We love it.
So the best hunt that we had, my favorite hunt, probably of all times maybe even, was we went in, Brenda and I went in with mule deer and elk tags. Probably like from a waypoint, jogging, like as a crow flies, like 15 miles from my house, right into Bighorns. Rented mules from a dude down the road.
Really?
So Brenda and I and Kevin, and he came in and out. He had to leave and came back. Packed in 10-plus miles. Used one of the TP floorless tents. Got a little Smith cylinder stove. And went in with Brenda and I. So we were in 10-plus miles in some pretty steep, rugged country that we'd backpacked in and scoped out in the summer. And 5 days later, we packed out a nice 6-point bull, a mature bull, and Brenda packed out a heck of a mule deer.
Yeah, I saw that.
5 days later. So it was.
Dude. So 11 days?
No, just 5-6 day hunt.
Oh.
Yeah, total.
Okay.
Yeah, shot
for
the mule
that
deer.
One.
What? Shot the mule deer on day one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you both get both shots on film?
I did.
Atta boy, Kevin.
Yep. So the film itself will be probably later this year. So whoever's interested in it, be looking at whether it be social media and stuff.
Perfect.
We'll have it out. It's going to be really cool.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we did that. I got invited with Governor Mead to accompany him on the one-shot antelope hunt.
That's cool.
And that was kind of historic out of Lander, Wyoming. It's a deal they've been doing since the 1940s.
Yeah.
And my grandpa shot it in 1965.
Oh, really?
Wow.
With Governor Mead's grandpa, who was the governor of Wyoming at the time.
Kidding.
Really?
Then my dad shot it in 1983. And then Kevin came down with me, and I hunted with Governor Mead this year. On the one-shot antelope hunt, so it was 65, 83, and 18 that our family's now done it. So that was cool.
That's really cool
to have it line up like that.
Yeah, and the laundry list of people that have shot it in the past, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, man,
the folks that have been invited and have partaked in that event.
So tell us what the one-shot antelope event is.
Yeah, I was going to say, for people outside of Wyoming.
Sure, it's pretty unique, and it's a it's an old-timer event historically, right? Since the 40s, and they only missed during the war.
Jeez.
One year.
1 year during World War II. There's nine teams, Kevin? Nine teams of three?
Yeah.
12 teams of three?
Yeah.
Right around there. That's it. That shoot it every year, and you have to be invited, and you can only shoot it once unless you're a governor or unless you come back to captain a team. But in essence, you go once. So what, Jack O'Connor shot? I mean,
sure,
all these guys
no
shot
kidding.
These.
Legendary names.
Governors, you name it, they've been there.
Wow.
And so it's actually off of speed. So it's a team of three.
Okay.
And you go out, like we went on BLM. This guy had been guiding for 45 years.
Same guy.
What's his name?
Jack.
Jack. I was going to say Jack. Yeah, Jack. Older gentleman. You go out there, and they add up the times between you and your two partners, but you're not with your partners. So I'm actually with a competitor, and you go out there, and every hour you switch. So let's say 6:30 is when it started, a.m. If I'm up first, 6:30 to 7:30, I'm on.
Okay.
And your time starts. It stops at 7:30. Next guy gets an hour. So
you meaning that you are the one carrying the rifle for that hour.
And I'm the one that can shoot an antelope.
Okay.
So I was first.
Okay.
So it was legal light at 6:30, and I shot mine at 6:47.
Oh, really? Lots of goats?
Yeah. I mean, this BLM is a good unit. There are a lot of goats. Size does not matter at all.
Okay.
It's only time. And so
it is a buck, though. It's a
it's got to be a buck.
Yeah. It's got to be a buck, okay.
And it's time. It's been this way since the 40s. And so then you come back and you find out who shot what and all those things. So this year, not one team of three, and you only have one shot. So one shot antelope hunt.
Then it's over.
One shot. So you miss,
clean kill.
You
done,
get a
done.
Miss.
Done,
clean
okay.
kill, one shot.
Clean kill. If you make a poor shot, they'll immediately make you take a follow-up shot because it's in the rules for ethics.
Yeah, right.
But it's the same as a miss.
Okay.
Okay? Two shots is the same as a miss. So you have to have a one-shot kill. But ethically, they will have you do a follow-up shot, so their ethics are in place
I
for
got
that.
You. Okay.
So then what happens is you get back, and you compare it, and there's this board up, and all these people are there. They put you on stage. It's like a... It's a crazy deal.
Yeah.
And
a crazy
so
deal.
This year, not one group had all three that shot it. All groups shot two, and every group had a miss, and one group shot one. I shot mine. My partner shot his. There's three of us. And Governor Meade, unfortunately, had a miss.
Oh, he did.
It was his eighth and final year in office. And Hickenlooper from Colorado, the governor there, it was his eighth and final year. Hickenlooper never had a hit over the years, but he'd always bring good shooters with him. So
smart
what happened
man.
Was there's a revolving trophy between Cheyenne and Denver. And it goes back and forth between the two.
How did I not know about this?
It's crazy.
Did you know about this before?
Okay.
I did not know about it.
Trophy. It's both of their final years. The trophy had been in Denver for like 3 years. Okay. Matt Meade wanted this trophy in Cheyenne so bad as last year. He'd never won in 8 years. So there's 9 or 13 teams, 12 teams. Two of them. One is a Wyoming team of Governor Meade, and one's Hickenlooper's team. And then they'll have like...
And they're residents of the state, the teams, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you
it's
can kind
of know. It's not like you can
bring
someone from out of
state in. You could.
Oh, you could.
No, you know but what? They didn't. They didn't.
They
I don't think they do.
They were. The Colorado team.
Oh,
it was Cody.
Yeah.
Cody lives in Colorado.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
The other gentleman was a Colorado resident.
Yeah, so they
and
were.
Wyoming.
Yeah.
Hunting with Team Wyoming?
No, they were with Team Colorado.
Colorado with Hickenlooper.
So what happened was Meade missed his. But what this means is for the time I shot mine in 17 minutes, my partner was an hour and something.
Okay. Got it.
The Colorado team, the two guys on Hickenlooper's team, shot theirs hecka quick, like both under 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm.
Colorado wins. But what that means is, because Hickenlooper missed, of course.
Okay.
But if Governor Meade would have hit his, no matter the time, he could have taken all day. Nobody shot three.
Because all three.
If we'd have shot three, we would have automatically won.
Yeah.
Oh, I just felt so bad. Matt is the coolest, most down-to-earth
That's
guy.
That's funny.
And he wanted to win so bad and we lost, but it was fun.
Oh, so you guys didn't win?
No, Colorado won. They shot him quicker.
Because
we shot two. Both
home.
Governors missed, but both their two partners hit him. But they had a combined total score of less.
But they had two kills.
We had
also,
two kills, too.
Yeah. Right, but they did it faster.
I see.
So it could have taken, Meade could have shot his at 4 p.m. that day. Gotcha.
And you would have won. Because it would have been a full three.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So that hunt, needless to say, was a little different than the backcountry Bighorn Mountain hunt.
Yeah.
17 minutes.
That's a
wow.
That's a bass tournament with a rifle.
Yes.
A timed bass tournament with a rifle.
That's interesting.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So, funny story, that was my first hunt with Adam. Uh-huh. And was it stressful filming it? No, I didn't have a hard time filming it. Because you had to get on him quick. Because it's a time thing.
So also, Kevin is really good. With the camera, he's one of those guys, you just run, and he runs with you.
Nice.
So he's good.
Yeah, actually, we left the truck. When we saw the antelope, we pulled up, and he was a couple hundred yards away, and the guide was a little
Jack
bit older.
Jack would not come.
He said, Jack wouldn't come. We bounced out of that truck, and we were gone. And it was just me and him running.
Jack's probably in his 80s. So Jack was not
understandably
running.
Another key to this whole thing is that there's no artificial rest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So it's a one
you
shot.
You can't have a rear support?
None.
No.
No support.
No support. You cannot use a bipod, a backpack, a sweatshirt. It's part of the deal
so
since
your,
the 40s.
So your knee or prone or standing on a tree?
A sage bush. So I went prone on a sage bush.
On a hill. How far was your shot?
100.
Oh, yeah, 100 okay. So it's not like you guys are making 600-700 yard
no,
shots.
Because you get one shot. And so if it's not within 200 yards, you just get closer.
I see.
Because without a rest, to me, that's a game changer.
I see. That to a lot of guys.
Well, so part of it is there's a thing with the Shoshone tribe that it's been a part of since the 40s.
Okay.
And so that's part of it is there's this whole kind
traditions.
Of what's that?
Their hunting traditions are included in the one
correct.
Shot.
Correct. And so it's this blend with them because they've done it over the years, and that's where the no rest thing comes from is part
I
of the
see.
Shoshone
I
thing.
See.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But when he pulled up on that antelope and I was behind him with the camera, I wasn't nervous about filming or anything, but truthfully, I was super nervous for Adam's shot.
Oh, were you?
I was,
that's
because
funny.
There was no rest involved.
Well, you hadn't hunted with me before.
No,
how about after this season? Are you nervous now?
I got
now?
No problem.
Okay.
But, so we started dragging this thing back to the
my
truck.
Elk this year was at 550 yards, so that was, yeah, that was for
we started dragging this antelope back to the truck, and there's a little creek, like a salt creek.
Oh, this
like
is the funniest part of the
day. And I'm like, hey, this would be a great photo, Adam. And so we're like taking our time. I lean down in the water, and I'm like, I give him the thumbs up.
To drag the antelope across this little creek.
I wanted to drag the antelope through the water.
Uh-huh.
And like his first step, he hits a rock. And
trips.
He starts tripping through the water. He gets up on the other side. He just looks at me. He's like, yeah, real good call, Kevin. I was like, all right. It's like,
you
no more photos.
You going to put that in the bloopers? Are you going to include that in the film?
I still have the thing, but he told me I can never show anybody.
It's his screensaver at work.
we're the first people to be told this?
Yeah, actually. We've never talked about it.
We'll have a talk later, Kevin.
I might not
That's
be the
funny. That is funny.
That's awesome.
It sounds like you guys have a good time together. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
We do. No, yeah, it's cool. Fun. You know, Kevin's just we went to Alaska together last year, too, and he just kind of came. We didn't have a content guy at the time, so right. Kevin is marketing director with our move, which is really short staff. So pretty much everybody's doing everything this last year. And so he came with me on a lot of hunts. But what was really neat is on that the Bighorn Mountain hunt there with Brenda and I is Kevin's wife is an actress, and she was in a local play. And she's phenomenal, by the way. Little pitch for
That's
Stephanie.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So he had to go. Was it the last part or first show or last show? Whatever it was.
I ended up going on
first
the
show.
It was
opening
the first
weekend.
Show. It was a Thursday.
So he's like, I got to pack out for this deal. And we're packed in there. And the way we went to, super sketchy, super thick, and we were with mules. It was one. Is really hard pack in.
In the Bighorns.
In the Bighorns.
Grizzly country.
No.
No.
I thought there was
we don't have grizz
there.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Between Cody and there, we're just...
That would have added to some of the epicness of training. Okay, but anyway.
Yeah, well, no, the grizzly... No. So Kevin had to pack out for this play. And sure enough, you know, that was the fourth,
fifth
day.
Day four.
And that morning, it had rained all morning and blah, blah, blah. Kevin has to pack out, which basically I knew at that moment, as soon as he leaves and with the camera and everything... I'm going to kill an elk.
That's when it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
So Brenda and I that evening went up in one area, ran into some other public land hunters right at the top of this mountain we were going to go to.
Brenda on like, camera?
What's that?
Camera's gone at this
camera
point.
Camera is gone, just
point.
Brenda and I.
Gotcha.
Run into the top of this mountain where I thought it'd be perfect to hunt that night, and we knew there was some sign and some good things, and ran into these other guys and went, ah. It was 4 o'clock. And I glanced down to where we'd seen elk
the
two nights before.
We did a heck of a trip.
A really long...
We hiked for 3 hours in the dark.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
we
that
went
night.
Down. We covered some serious elevation. We went down, back up the other side, in hopes of these elk coming out that we had seen. They did not come out. We ended up hiking back for 3 hours.
So that
dark.
Night at 4 o'clock, I would say from that peak to where we shot, just with the binos, at least 2 miles, just binos.
Serious.
Like, and then, you know, the walks further. Okay. Six elk bedded on the side of this mountain at 4 o'clock.
You're thinking,
and so I
okay.
go to Brenda, and she's a tough critter, but I mean, you know, she's a 41-year-old mom, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And so I go, are you up for this? Because basically we're just going to hoof it and hope to shoot them right at last light.
Right.
And so we took off on just a chase, and we just 2 hours without stopping.
Jeez.
And we're in this creek bed.
Leading mules or no?
No, they were in day, like kind of our little day camp we
okay,
set up.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they're back at, you know, with the tents and whatnot. So
gotcha.
we'd go out basically during the day. We just went on foot all day, and
nice.
I knew we'd go get the mules to do the big pack out.
Sure.
So we just hoofed it all the way down. Long story short, we came in. It was a cross canyon deal. Got to within 550. Two elk were bedded looking. There was six, or I think there ended up being seven bulls. I ended up glassing up the biggest one, and they, right at the last minute, started peeking to go up, 15 minutes left of light or whatever, and it was either 550 or A, we were going to run out of light, but the way the canyon went, there was no way we could put a stalk on him. So, shot him right before last light. Brenda and I were up there on the mountain till 11 or 12. It was a super steep hill.
Super steep. We got pictures.
So we were on the mountain till late at night, hiked back, got back to the tent at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Smoked.
Yeah, and then we in-reach Kevin. Didn't you say you shed a tear? Is that okay to say online?
It's okay to say.
On the podcast?
Cried.
You did?
That night.
Yeah, I mean, not like a heavy cry, but I did shed a tear.
Like both eyes.
No, maybe
because
not both
because we worked our tails off.
You know what? Maybe both eyes.
It was all
maybe
summer of scouting. Because here's the thing.
Dude,
the thing about this unit was we've talked to some other locals, and they said, I don't know if any other non-resident this year probably did a DIY where you were and shot a bull.
Jeez.
It's rough country, and there are elk up there, but it's a little bit tough. So we scouted all summer. This was like months of just, we're going to kill a bull in our backyard. Kevin comes for 4 days, does a long hike out, goes to his wife's play, and gets us in reach.
Yeah, I was actually right,
you were
after,
probably
right after
a little
this theater
bit.
Show.
Happy. But at the same
and
time.
In Sheridan, that play, it's called the Gala, and it's like an annual big thing. We're the new people in town. She had a great role in it, so I was like, well, I
she had like
miss
the star
thing.
Role. She's unbelievable.
So, nice.
It was the Adams family. She was Wednesday Adams. It was so funny.
It was just awesome. It was a sad moment and a happy moment because we had filmed a lot through the season.
Sure.
We filmed a lot. We went to Alaska. We went to the one shot. We did all these
we
things.
We actually took the same gun, a new caliber, to Alaska to shoot something.
Yeah.
Didn't shoot a moose after 7 days in the rain, Alaska. Came back.
You know.
He hunted with me for 4 or 5 days. Still didn't shoot something. He leaves for one night and I shoot it.
The night I
killed the first animal with this caliber.
So I know.
It was a very odd feeling.
Did you have any sort of, like, there's something wrong with me moments?
No, never.
Okay.
I did.
You did.
I had there's something wrong
with
him. Absolutely. Yes.
I would have. Just saying.
But check this out.
I've got a couple buddies I've hunted with that I've never killed anything with. It's like, it's you. Yeah. It ain't me.
No, we killed that animal. Oh, we did some other killing.
We killed a lot of stuff.
But
oh, yeah, you did
kill. Here's the cool part. The next day, we pack up camp. Brenda and I slept in.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Packed up camp and the mules to go head out, and it was in steep, horrible country.
Yeah.
And Kevin met us at the elk. He got up early that morning. Drove up into the bighorns.
This is hardcore.
Hiked all the way in so he could get the pack out.
Yeah, I actually...
No joke.
That's pretty hardcore.
He can hike. Look at those legs. They're long legs.
The other thing that's real crazy about it is that we had studied the topography before I left the day before, and we had decided at camp that if I had to come back in, which I was going to come back in the next day probably anyways to continue filming, but when I came back in, I was going to look for a different trail.
Because it would have cost us, 6 to 8
miles,
but it was up and over in a creek, and we just didn't know if it was passable.
I was looking at the map, and I was like, man, there's got to be something in there, I think, that we can get through, and it'd be way better if you shoot an elk right there. Long story short, I came in with just like a 5-pound pack.
Okay, yeah.
Nothing.
Ready to haul.
I knew we'd be out that day, even if it was midnight.
So you could haul a little faster.
I got out there. I left my house in the morning. I got to the trailhead in 45 minutes in my truck. And then we had a UTV that went another X amount of miles.
5 or 6.
And I did that run in about 18 minutes in the UTV. And then on foot, I think it was 3 miles. And I think I did the 3 miles in 50 minutes.
Wow.
That's a clip.
And it was a perfect shot to where they had killed this elk. And it was like when I found this little trail that somebody had made, I was just like, this is incredible.
But Brenda and I came up and over to try to save time with some mules on stuff that billy goats wouldn't have been able to go on.
Oh, gosh.
So we were like, the scariest part of the trip for Brenda, actually the hardest part for her, was the mules.
And
like,
those rocks
mules
you guys
are stubborn.
Oh, yeah.
And having them on the rocks and some different things, that was...
It's intimidating.
You have any issues with the rack on the mules? Poking it? Getting caught.
No,
any rodeos.
These mules were like 20-something years old, and they didn't care about the elk on their back.
No, but we had a wild strapping that bad boy down.
Yeah, we're not good at elk. As far as elk packing and even distribution of weight and getting the knots tied right,
we're below novice. Dude.
I would say probably a D-.
Yeah.
Every 100 yards right after we packed, you're like, well.
There's an art to it.
There is an art to it. I spent 7 days with a guy that was packing in horses. We went in for an elk hunt, and just the way that he would load that up and whip around one rope. I mean, it's like a 30-foot rope.
Yeah.
He's doing one rope up and around. He'd flip a knot, throw it around the other side, round a knot. Around the ass of the mule, do another knot. I mean, it was – and he did it like that.
I need to just go to a class. I mean, I mean, we packed it out.
Right.
Eventually, we had to stop probably 4 times and retie it every quarter mile.
Yeah.
Once we got it, we just kept getting more rope out, more
enough knots so you can make anything happen.
Yeah. At the end, I'm like, we should just get duct tape and go around that thing to the belly. You know,
we got to the very top of that mountain, and I realized that I had left my first light jacket. Pretty much all the way at the bottom.
Oh, man.
He ran down.
I ran down and got it.
I was like, Kevin, I don't even think we paid for it.
It's precious wool.
Wow.
Yeah, it's precious wool.
No, it was a good hunt.
So we're experiencing life in Wyoming, man. It's cool. We're actually in the next, we're at the expo right now. It's the 15th.
Yep.
We're literally packing trucks in California right now.
Wow. To move
here the last 2 weeks of February.
Good for you.
And
excellent.
Then congratulations. The factory opened beginning of March out there. So it's been a long year since we talked last year.
Yep.
Yeah. We just made our move announcement. And so
you're
doing
the home stretch now.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
Feel good.
Cool. Yeah, it's been a long, I'm tired.
Yeah.
It's been a long year.
What are you most excited about with the move?
Jeez.
Top three.
I think it's.
Careful what you say.
It's just the opportunity.
Yeah.
For our brand, I got a 74-year-old brand that my dad and granddad did a great job setting up, and our brand's larger than life, and we're now poised. I'm poised, I think. We got a new phenomenal team, and then some folks that moved that we're thrilled about. Unfortunately, some people couldn't move or whatever. But the new team that's established of old and new blended, phenomenal team, a building twice our size that we had in California.
That's cool. That's
in a
exciting
state that is 100% behind what we're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's opportunity.
Too.
That's all I can say.
It's a combination of all the
all of that right in the feet of the bighorns and all those things. So it's just opportunity abounds for us right now. So we're
good for you guys.
I feel like we've been building a launching pad the last couple years, and we're gonna be taking off.
That is exciting.
Yeah,
that is really exciting.
Yeah,
yeah. Good for you guys.
Yeah. It's cool.
Kevin's a new addition.
Yep.
Missouri?
No, I was in Arkansas for a couple years. Yeah.
Where are you originally from?
Oh, God, that's a tough question. I grew up in Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've lived in a few places, worked at a couple places in the industry. And when the opportunity to move to Sheridan and be a part of Weatherby came up, it was a no-brainer if the opportunity was mine. So there wasn't much debating going on when it worked
Kevin's
out.
A man of many talents. Not only right before we went on the one-shot antelope hunt, we were going to go – he's going to go hunting with me for the first time. He's also real mechanical. Takes apart his 4Runner and all those kind of things.
Nice.
4Runner guy.
I'm like a big Toyota guy.
Don't tell Eric that. He'll have you on speed dial, bro.
Oh, you're a Toyota guy.
Scotty Thompson got me.
He has a Toyota.
Yeah.
He has a Toyota.
But all my guys help me.
But whether he's a Toyota guy.
It doesn't mean I work on it.
Actually, I think you texted me the other day because I built that boiler.
That's right. That's right.
You texted me.
He's pretty crafty. Handy. Handy, crafty, talented. But so, I said, go ahead.
Oh, no. You go.
I asked him when he built that trailer, I said, would it have been more worth it just to pay for a trailer? He said 10 to 1.
It doesn't matter with
don't
Kevin.
Don't ever build a trailer. don't ever do it. I love saving money, and I tend to put more work into things to save a couple dollars.
Right.
And it's not worth it at all. Go
there's some things you just can't.
$2,000 on a trailer and be very happy.
Right.
Because I'll never build one again.
Yeah.
It was huge.
And he can edit. He can do video.
So I was going to say, check this out. So right before, I'm like, oh, he's mechanical. I had a buddy. You know I fly.
Right.
So I got a 74 Cessna 206. And a buddy with the ranch invited me out to Sharptail Hunt with Brenda and our dog Wrangler. And so I was going to go out there. He's got a dirt strip.
Nice.
My plane's not really pimped out for Wyoming yet. So I have those wheel pants on, do you call them?
Sure.
Wheel fairings that are, over the wheels.
Right.
I was going out to his ranch. I'm like,
you need a big wheel.
Now that I'm in Wyoming, I got to strip those. And when I wear out these tires, I need to get bigger tires. But I'm like, I need to pull these wheel pants. I said, it'll be easy. Well, the front tire, there's a bunch of things. The front wheel, there's a bunch of things you got to take off. Basically, you got to take the wheel off, but there's that suspension system that's on the front, you know, and hydraulics that goes, right?
Okay,
on
right.
The front. It's not a tail dragger. It's front
what
wheel.
What was the pin called?
Oh, what was... There's some weird... Oh, the clevis. It's called the clevis. I wear
a
YouTube
clevis.
Videos. So I go, you got to pull it out, but what happens is... So I want to go out to my buddy's ranch, and we're going to go down there, and I said, well, I got to take these things off. So I said, I'll call it Kevin. He's mechanical.
Right.
I'm actually not.
Right. And, me neither.
This so is go, still also very early on like, in my career.
He just kind of started. So he comes over to work on his boss's plane. It ended up, what I read was, if you pull out that pin and something goes wrong...
Hydraulic fluid.
The hydraulic fluid just like explodes everywhere and all this stuff. My plane would be grounded. You know, mechanic would have to come over and everything.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So pretty soon we're YouTubing stuff, and he's like, are you sure you want to do this? Yeah. I'm sitting on the tail of the plane trying to hold the thing up in the air. He's got the whole tire off and everything, and he's under there. Like the day before, I'm going to go fly out to my buddy's ranch.
Oh my gosh.
Doing this, but I heard Kevin was mechanical, so that was like, he just does everything. So I'm like, Kevin, you want to come down and work on my plane? So I'm not an airplane mechanic.
Like, I was super hesitant. Honestly, the first 30
minutes. A little sketchy, man.
The first 30 minutes we were in it, I was like, I'm not doing this. And then finally, I started looking at it a little more. We literally were sitting in the hangar on our phones, and I was like, maybe we can do it. And then we just dove into it, and it was too late.
It was just, yeah, I've been there before.
I've had my airplane mechanic take a look at it, yeah. And it was. He's like, this thing's good to go. He's way good to go.
Well,
certified airplane mechanic.
He was sitting on it, balancing the nose of the plane up in the air, and I was looking at it, and he couldn't see it. And I was like, hey, I just need one more verbal confirmation
right.
that
well,
you're okay
yeah.
with me pulling this pin. And he was like, I'm cool with it. I was like, zip, 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 zip. Wheel back on and flew out the next day.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And then the first time I landed was on a dirt strip.
That wow. can be pretty expensive if you screwed something up because planes, parts yeah. are expensive.
So are lives.
So yeah, are yeah. lives. So are lives.
So
right.
are lives.
Wow.
No, it was, we're probably dramatizing it. It wasn't that bad. Right, Kevin?
Well, that's just another question to put into interview questions for the future. Are you good with airplanes?
Right.
Can you?
So we flew down to the one shot. That was kind of fun.
That's
so,
awesome. Yeah.
Is it more pleasure or you go back to California in it?
I'm sorry?
Is it more pleasure, the Cessna, or do you go back to California in it?
Oh, well, I'll go back to California in it. But no, we do.
But you'll
I
go,
do,
you,
like, I flew a
commercial.
Shot this year. I would have flown here, but the weather was crappy this
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
So no, I fly whenever I can, if it's within a couple surrounding states. If the weather holds up, I'll always fly first.
Sure.
Now, I'm not going to go to Florida in it.
Right,
it's gonna,
yeah.
At
yeah.
130 knots and three fuel stops later.
Right, yeah.
But if I'm going to kind of anywhere within the few surrounding yeah. states, then I'll do it. So, I mean, like, yesterday it had been 2.5 hours instead of an 8-hour drive.
Oh, man.
It would have been 2.5 hours.
That's
right.
Cool.
But the roads were scary enough, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The snow was bad
you ever
enough.
Had to, like, ground it? Before, like, land it?
No, I've never had to do emergency landing. No.
Emergency landing.
I had an electrical outage once, but engine was running fine. It landed in an airport, but it was electrical out at dark, so that was probably the hairiest thing I've had happen. My wife was in the passenger seat, and things started going out, and her headset started going out, and some red X's came across my Garmin panel, and...
Ooh.
Which is an awesome
dark.
Way.
And
of
I have flaps, and
problems.
The flaps are electric,
man.
So I couldn't get the flaps
really?
Down.
So, what'd you do at that point?
Well, my communication was still in, and there was a towered airport, and I was talking to them, and they brought me in, and everything. I mean, I had a 10,000 foot runway. I needed, like, less than a quarter of that.
You were
wow.
good.
So, I was fine. Yeah, yeah. It was fine. Yeah. So, that was probably the hairiest thing. But
planes to me are a little sketchy. Like, just hunting with my buddy Jonah in Alaska. Alaskan, mm-hmm. he's an outfitter up there. And to think that he works on his own plane and built his own plane, I'm like, you're nuts.
Yeah. Cessna's
different than a Super Cub, though,
like,
right?
Tires, yeah. Outside of tires and changing oil, I don't do anything else. Because,
okay.
Well, number one, there are actually laws of things you can do if you're not certified.
I'm sure, yeah.
So, it kind of everything
are we okay
else.
With the tire?
There's a couple things.
Check on that.
But anything else, it's yeah. 100%, you know, qualified people. Because it is. You got one engine that you're betting your life on.
Yeah.
You got two wings. You
right.
got three tires. You know, I mean, you're betting your life on it. So I do a lot of preventative maintenance and, you know, all those, not me personally, but, I mean,
sure.
have folks do it. If I'm bringing other people up and, you know, it's people's lives in there. And I'm really cautious on everything from weather to whatever. Just, you know,
right.
You have your personal minimums that you
right.
have.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, when you
even
go up in
show.
The air. I'm not the hotshot
yeah.
kind of guy. I don't fly low and do all that. I've done a couple scouting things, you know, legally, by the way, in the time
yes,
frame,
yeah.
depending on the state.
Right.
But I've done that, and I won't do that anymore. I just don't. even like kind of flying low enough to be able to see animals.
Right, that's pretty low.
I like to just get up high. I like to be bored when I fly.
Right.
If I'm bored, it means
you're safe.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I don't, you know, it's scary enough just kind of every time going up there. Yeah. And, you know, I've flown for about 12 years, but,
okay.
Wow. But it's fun.
Probably even, eventually like a car.
I'm batting 1,000 right now. So on my
even
landing.
This show, you didn't fly down because of the weather, right?
Correct.
You were thinking about flying.
Luke and I flew down to SHOT Show this year. That was kind of fun.
Oh, did you?
I remember seeing that on Instagram. I'm like, dude, what a way.
We landed up for fuel up here in Price, Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Really? There's a spot right there?
Yeah, there's a dude, there's we saw Ogden a herd Airport. Of elk on final. We were coming in.
Yeah,
a bunch of snow everywhere. Nobody around for miles. Came in and there's a herd of elk right on final approach in there. Cool.
Really?
Beautiful area.
That's good. Huh. Price is pretty.
Hey, I had heard Price has the highest concentration of mountain lions.
Really?
Like,
you know, I didn't know about the statistic side of it, but I know a couple of guys that run hounds down that way, and they do it quite a bit. There's quite a bit of cats out there, yeah.
There's a lot of cats everywhere. The hound game's pretty competitive.
Yeah.
Almost more than the big games, though.
Huh.
It is, because a good chunk of it can be done almost... I mean, it's a bigger span of the time frame of the year that you can run hounds.
Sure.
And, yeah, I mean, it's popular for sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm excited about the Weatherby move, man. I think Wyoming's a great fit for you guys. And
thanks.
We're excited because it's a little bit closer to us.
Yeah,
it's going to be cool. We'll hang out more. And I get Kevin and Eric are going on a bear hunt here this spring.
That's
June. Yeah, early June.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So we'll definitely be able to do more now.
We plan on filming that one as well.
Yeah. We're going to team up on
it. We're going to team up.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I might get a couple new cameras for this.
Yeah.
There you go.
We got a bunch of cameras too.
I forget.
So.
Why am I not coming on this hunt?
You were busy.
Oh.
You're busy.
That's a bummer. I'm busy?
You're busy.
You're going to try and reassess
that
now?
You are telling me I'm busy. What is going on? Yeah, I can't do them all.
Maybe Adam's going with you on the hunt.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine.
It's calling audible.
Well,
yeah, it's calling audible.
After he brought up me tripping in the river on the antelope hunt and all those things.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
now I'll probably take the bear hunt. Now I have this, like, I've painted this picture of how Adam is in the field.
Adam is in what?
The field.
He's super intense.
Am I?
You are.
I'm pretty intense, too.
Yeah, no, you'll do anything it takes. That's the one
That's
thing
good.
About Adam. He will do anything it takes to fill that
Well,
tag.
And it shows. It shows.
I don't see that at a glance because you're so, like, down to earth and relaxed.
It's kind of, I guess with anything, I'm just, if I put my mind, whether that's leading my business and I'm, dude, we're going to hit this goal.
Sure.
Or if it's, we're going to tag an elk. Then, yeah, I do. I'm determined.
And you were doing triathlons and stuff. I mean, the mental toughness that it takes to do that stuff shows throughout kind of everything you do.
So you've got a game mode.
Yeah.
Game time.
Yeah, I mean, we were on that elk hunt. He was saying stuff, and in my head, I'm like, that's crazy.
Like, what?
Like, let's go there? Like, I don't picture Adam saying that.
The night we went over there to hope that those bulls were going to come out, I was like, man, that's a pretty good walk.
Just to hope they come out.
Oh yeah, it was a good walk, and we knew 3 hours in the dark.
You know, I think
back.
One of the things that drives me is I don't have a lot of fears in life, but I have a fear of regret.
Yeah,
really.
And that drives me to later go, you know what? If I'd have hiked down that super steep face and those elk came out, like, so I'd rather hike down there. I'm not going to regret being a little tired.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's those sorts of things of like. Of the fear of regret drives me sometimes to go, I'm going to live life to its fullest today. I'm going to pursue that animal or lead my business. Yeah. Or in the case of family, like go to a kid's game, but I got to ditch stuff to do it or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want to regret not being in my kid's life the way I should. And so those things that you don't want to get to the end of your life and look back and go,
I
missed out on those opportunities of the things that were truly important. And so I don't know if that makes sense. So
that makes total sense.
It's not necessarily success. It's wanting to make sure
regret.
I didn't leave anything on the table.
Right. Do you think you learned that with maturity? Or do you think you've always been that way from day one?
I think part of it is instilled in me.
Okay.
And part of it is maybe you do have times in your life where you do regret and you learn from those regrets.
Sure.
We learn from mistakes. We learn from regrets and we learn from them. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a good way to categorize the way that a lot of people are when they're in the hills. And it's... When there's a maybe, like say for example, going up over those next two ridges to see if maybe those bulls will come through, there's guys that will walk on a maybe, and there's guys that won't walk on a maybe.
True. Probably a lot more won't.
And a lot more won't. And I've noticed that with myself. The times that I don't go on a maybe are the times that I regret the most. Because
exactly.
I'm like, you know what? I should have gone. There's no way to know that it wouldn't have happened unless I would have done it.
I like to fill tags myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I find myself talking people into it a lot when I'm hunting with people. Are you sure you want to do that? I'm like, yeah.
Like, are you serious? You think we can get up there?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, we can get up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's impressive. Is there anything exciting that you guys want to kind of talk about as far as Weatherby? What have you got? I mean, you got the awesome booth here at the show.
By the way, that was impressive.
Yeah.
I think that fits out the show really
Kevin
well.
Kevin and his team.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Yeah.
I just show up and it's there. So somebody did a lot of work. Appreciate it.
Yeah. No, it'll be good. I mean, next year we'll probably change the booth a little bit next year too. So
we're going to be, I think, right now our focus is on getting everything moved and the new employees up and going and all those kind of things.
Good.
Then we're actually going to be coming out with a lot of new stuff this year.
This year?
Uh-huh. This year. As the year rolls out, we got some... in the shotgun, ammo, and rifle category, we got new stuff coming out.
Really?
Can't talk about it yet.
Sure, okay.
As things are still in the development.
Yeah,
but this year, there will be some things we've literally been working on for a couple years, got slowed down because of the move. But we're still in the midst of the move. It's like we got to have our product development team still rolling on stuff, you know? So it is cool. Right now, the thing that's got the most buzz is this Wyoming commemorative rifle.
Oh, yeah. So it's beautiful.
You know, it's got all this gold stuff on it. We got the Wyoming Bucking horse and rider on the bottom, and it's the serial numbers WY00001 through whatever. And so that's kind of people are so excited. We said, hey, let's take advantage of this opportunity, put some of these things out here for guys who are really excited about our move. Yeah. And so that's been kind of fun to see that take.
That is exciting.
Take a little bit of momentum. Yeah. But yeah.
Are you going to build a select few of those? Do you know how many you're going to put out?
Yeah. In the hundreds, not the thousands. Certainly. Nice. So.
Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Limited quantities.
Yeah.
Cool. Looking forward to seeing what you guys do.
Yeah. So it'll be cool. As the year goes on, we'll have some stuff. And hopefully even by the time that bear hunt's out, we'll have some new stuff out, which will be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, we're excited to work with you guys. It'll be fun to get up there and get Eric on a bear.
Yeah.
Be a riot.
Good time.
Love bear hunting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks,
well,
guys.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you sitting down. Kevin, thanks for your time. Adam, thanks for your time.
Yeah. As
we
always.
Appreciate it, guys.
As appreciate always. It's now an annual deal. This was the second annual.
We're making a tradition.
We need to make it like a biannual thing.
Yeah.
Now that
we need to come see a new place.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That'd be cool. We have a grand opening June 13th.
Yeah. You gonna have a range?
We got some stuff.
We got underground ranges for days.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That'll be a riot. Yes. That'll be a fun little summer trip. Okay.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Get us a fishing license, go up there, catch a few.
That'd be really cool.
And I know
seriously.
We talked about
we'll let you guys get
you
settled.
You guys come up, we'll shoot in the range.
Absolutely.
We do a podcast, hang out. Be really cool.
We do a YouTube video, throw it up.
Yeah. We'll definitely do that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Be a hell of a deal. Well, cool, guys.
Cool.
Thanks again.
Guys. All right.